Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Auto Transport Intel. It is Wednesday. It is noon Central Time. That means it's time for DOT compliance. Mic check 1, 2, 3. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us again. And feel free to ask questions. All right, so DOT compliance. It's not just MCSA and DOT regulations and IRP and IFTA and clearinghouse. Yes, it's all of that. As far as questions, answers, advice, but it's even more. Trucking business, right? Building a business, thinking about, it's a lot. It's not just transporting, delivering, making money. You know that. And that's another thing. We know you already know this. Jay, we already know this. Yes, we do. And so, not to overlook that fact. Plus, I don't even drive. I'm sitting at a desk, right? And I know for somebody out there who's like, man, I'm not listening to this guy. Don't have to. But what we do have for you is we have Brian Riker, your DOT guy. He's an expert, and he wants to help provide advice and share good news and bad news if it has to be. So go ahead and jump in the live chat. Say hello. What's going on, Chris? We got Ty. We got Devin. What's going on? And so there's not only Brian, and I'm here to field the questions and the news articles and whatnot. We got community in the live chat. So please do us a favor. Please help us out. Leave a like. Thank you so much. I'll try to lay off the bell. You can click share, click copy. You can grab that YouTube link. We'll be live for 30 minutes. Send it to a family member that doesn't know what's going on, right? And if they're really, like, they don't want to ask questions, start at the beginning. Autotransportintel.com. Click on sign up. Become an ATI insider and find out, you know, where do I go? What do I do? I'm looking at my trucks. I'm looking at loads. Am I looking at load boards? Am I looking at mobile apps? I mean, what am I doing? Well, we want to talk to you and help you out. So let's do this. Let's bring in Brian Riker. Brian, can you see me and hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Jay. Good afternoon. Awesome.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, other than I got big fat fingers and disconnected from the show as you're doing your opening.
Okay.
No, I'm just hanging out outside of, I'm in Rockdale, Illinois at Worldwide Equipment Sales, office.
Right on, man. Okay. So now did you deliver something? Are you going to pick something up? Are you waiting on next assignment? What's happening?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I brought a rotator up for some warranty service work, and I'm picking up a little repo truck going to Long Island, and I'll take that home, deliver that Monday, and then I go back down to Cottrell for the first trip of the year to pick up a brand new Cottrell next week.
So Brian is out on the road, and he's out there with you. He knows the asphalt as well as you. Never before said on the show, by the way. Okay, so Carlos is here, David is here, Joe McClear is here, Silver Mint is here, ironically, Pokrovsky. I'm close on this. Irocles putting in some, those hacker scripts. All right, well, let's move on. I'm speculating live, but I think that's what it is. That's okay. All right, so we're going to get to questions. Brian, before we get into questions, you know what I want to share, Brian? Check this out. Let's do this. I had a couple pieces of, I always have something in the mailbag. Somebody posted this yesterday. The only reason I-95 isn't a mass casualty event is because there were gasoline trucks and not EV-powered vehicles. What do you think of that statement? That's interesting.
I don't know if I want to go quite that far, but they do have a point. The fossil fueled vehicles were able to be easily refueled because for those that don't know what's going on I-95, there was a storm that moved through. Virginia DOT was not prepared for it. It led to the road being closed with traffic stranded on the highway for 14 or more hours where they just couldn't move. So some people were running out of fuel. And fortunately, there was some access, but it was on the other side of a concrete barrier. So the local fire department and Virginia DOT were able to bring fuel up that way to refuel these cars. Yeah, electric vehicles, we would have had a problem recharging them to keep the heating system running, to keep the people from developing frostbite, because it was extremely cold. So we would have had to have, they would have had to have evacuated the people from their electric vehicles just for their own physical safety.
Okay. Well, that's what it sounded like from the post. That's really interesting. How about this one? Did you see this? Okay, I'm in New Jersey. I will never come back again. Two of the cars I'm supposed to be dropping off. The drop-off locations say their lot is full and they can't receive the cars until Thursday. What do I do? I found it so interesting because, right, doesn't everybody need inventory? Well, what's going on here? What is happening and what do you do, Brian?
Well, I'll do speculation live like you do so well. Probably one of the large dealership groups in New Jersey, or could even be one of the large auctions in New Jersey, because there's one that is over full all the time and they will just cut off receiving and your SOL until they feel like receiving your car. A lot of the groups in New Jersey, because real estate's so expensive, a lot of the dealerships will receive their car off property in a part of town or in the next town over that's a little less expensive than prime retail space. And when they're out of room, they're out of room. And you would think that out of room wouldn't happen right now with the inventory shortage, but it's still possible. Now, what can you do? There's not a whole lot you can do if detention or delays are not written into your broker carrier agreement or your agreement with the shipper. So you have to look back to the contract that you signed when you accepted that load. So if you took it directly from the dealership and you just took it on the phone and, yep, I'll bring you your cars, well, then there's probably no recourse at all. If you took it from a reputable broker and you have a good broker carrier agreement, there's probably a method in there to collect for delay. A lot of times delay doesn't start till 24 or 48 hours after you cannot make delivery. In auto transport, delay is not nearly as common as it is in the general freight world. So you may have no legal recourse other than to take them to a local towing company, put them in storage, and prepay that towing company to store them and then make final delivery for you, and then hope that the vehicles don't get damaged while they're in someone else's care, custody, and control, because you still will be responsible for it. So there's really not a lot of good options.
Well, that's what bothers me personally when I see this, as I'm thinking pretty much what you just said. There can't be any good options because, I mean, if you've been hired to transport vehicles, I mean, now they're in your custody.
Right.
They're on your trailer. I can't imagine the dispatch sheet says, especially if you just got it off the big buffet load board, if you get there and the lot is full, do whatever you want.
No, it never does. There's never. Always something. Generally, if you don't deliver it as agreed, and as agreed is the place and time that the customer wants, not what you want that's convenient as the carrier. I see the author has responded on this thread that, bad as I hate to, I'm going to have to drag them back to Indiana in order to get paid. And that was going to be one other point I touched on. In the freight world, a lot of times when delivery is refused, you have to haul it right back to the shipper. Now, don't haul it back for free. Work on getting paid for that, because you do have the legal right to put that vehicle into storage. You have the legal right to put the cargo you're hauling if there's any type of disagreement about receiving it. You have the right to put it in a warehouse at your expense until it's settled, and then they're responsible for, if it was their fault, they're responsible for the storage charges and the handling and all of that. So if you absolutely needed to get your trailer unloaded, then you put the vehicles in storage at a vehicle storage facility, and then they have to make arrangements to pick them up and get them transported over there and pay the storage. And most likely that's not covered in your broker carrier agreement, especially if you have a little one-page rate con sheet and or you've never read your agreement. Bottom line, it comes down to before you haul anything for anybody, we're not lawyers, we're truck drivers, but you need to read the contract because a lot of this is spelled out in there telling you that, well, you're going to sit here and store those cars on your trailer for a couple of days. It sucks, but that's the reality of the world we're in. We transport vehicles or freight on a contract between two or more parties. We just, our only options are what's in the contract.
What's interesting, as you pointed out, is that, you know, in general freight trucking, there's detention and all the stuff where you could be sitting and waiting. And as crazy as that sounds, that is not something that we're used to hearing in auto transport. You know, we need you to sit here all day before we can get those cars off. I don't think as a dispatcher I've ever talked to a driver that'd be like, yeah, that'd be fine. I'll sit right here.
Yeah, no,
why would they, right?
Yeah, that doesn't happen. That's why a lot of folks that's why auto transport is appealing, because we don't have the typical delays that the general freight world has. The worst delay you might have is with the major auctions like Mannheim changing their shipping and receiving hours, where when I started doing this, certain places sale day, you can't pick cars up till after the sale closes. When I started doing it in this business, we could drop off or pick up 24/7 at the auction facilities I served, other than the salvage auctions. But we served Newburgh Auto Auction and Pete's Northway, and they were 24/7, and they're not anymore.
I just want to point out, I always love this. No matter what the question is, there's always somebody that gives that like super laugh with the eyes squinted. You could say like, oh my God, everybody's dead. And somebody's going to post a little squinty eyed laugh guy. That stuff cracks me up.
I use that one a lot. I laugh at a lot because we can't take ourselves too serious.
I bet you can't stump Brian. He's here. We got the questions. In fact, here we go. I got, let's do this, Brian. Let's go to some live chat questions. First in here is David at Two Bears saying, just in time, he's doing IFTA. So if he has an IFTA question, IFTA is on the table. Chris, hey, Brian. So do you do what Foley does? I found them through a contractor who has trucks and trailers. I'm sure there are companies doing this as well. I was at Foley.com or whatever. Anyways, the point is, Brian, we talk about this. There are companies, you can hire anybody to do anything. You can hire somebody to go and get your mail for you. Does it mean you can't do it? No. But you can hire somebody to go and get your mail for you. Following that train of thought, I don't know, what do you want to say here?
I am very familiar with Foley Services. They're headquartered just about 100 miles from where I live. They're just over in Connecticut. They do a reasonable job. They do a little more contract work than I currently do because they're bigger than I am. Right now, it's me, myself, and I. I don't even have an administrative assistant. So that's why, like, Silverman's in there, and he's still waiting for me to respond to something he sent me 2 days ago by email, because it's when I get around, get a few minutes to do it, that I get to do it. And companies like Foley, there's nothing wrong with them. They will, for a fee, handle all of your back office compliance stuff. Personally, I think their fees are a little elevated, and they're right on the border with some of their misleading, and I don't want to say anything that's slanderous or going to get me in trouble, but some of their email marketing comes across more as you have to pay us to do this than, hey, we can do this for you if you want, but you could do it yourself. And you know, my platform has always been, I want to teach you how to do this for yourself so that you fully understand what you're doing. You never should buy into something, a service, if you don't understand it. If your consultant doesn't have the heart of a teacher to teach you about these things, even if you're still going to pay them to do it, you still need to understand what the regulations are, because it's your name on that form. At the end of the day, you're certifying, you understand, and you agree to comply with whatever it is. So companies like Foley, J.J. Keller, there's a couple of them out there to do this. They do a fine job. It's not personal one-on-one service like you get with a company like myself or some other smaller guys like me out there, but they do a fine job. And it probably can be more responsive than I can right now. I'm at the point I'm getting ready to hire some other administrative assistants and consultants, but I'm just not there yet.
Interesting, because that's very much like a law firm. You get up a really big law firm, and maybe you're paying a lot for less. However, you can get immediate response and et cetera, because there's always somebody at the phone, because the bill covers that.
Yes.
Right. And also the personalization of the service, and everything has its price point. Listen, if I can find somebody to go to the mailbox every day, and it's only a penny a day, and they're not like dropping the mail in the street, I might do that. In fact, I wonder if I could find that on Fiverr.
You know, they actually have services where you get a mailbox at like the mailbox store, mailbox, etc. Then they package up all your mail and deliver it to you by FedEx or UPS right to your front door if you don't want to go to your post office. Mm-hmm. Where I live in the middle of the woods, we don't get door-to-door delivery with our mail. They do what they call service points. My mail service point is 1.9 miles down the end of my driveway from my house. And so I don't get package delivery. You know how sometimes your final delivery from FedEx comes via U.S. Postal Service? Well, they just don't deliver boxes to my house. And I get a notice that you have to pick it up at the post office. The post office is a almost 20-mile trip from my house. So it really irritates me. So I would love to just have all my mail consolidated and have UPS drop it at my door, because they come to the house twice a day with packages, but the U.S. Postal Service can't. And so they do have those services. You're making a joke. You're making funny, but there are services that will do that for you.
Well, I tell you what, and honestly, for the P.O. box, because going to check a P.O. box can blow. So that's really interesting. I didn't even know that service existed. So look at that. A joke turns into an opportunity. It's called ATI. Okay, so here, David has a follow-up on the IFTA. Hey, IFTA, step 3. My miles per gallon showing 8.72, and I'm getting a message that it cannot be over 8. How do I fix this? What am I doing wrong?
Make it less than 8. I don't, honestly, David, I don't know why it's returning that error. The only thing I'm going to ask is, what was your average mile per gallon in your previous quarters that you filed? If nothing has changed on your fleet, they might say that you're showing inconsistent miles per gallon compared to what the norm is for your fleet, because that's how they audit these things. They look for major discrepancies. But now if you have a different truck, if you just did a major engine overhaul or did some other fuel saving measure that may justify your change in your fleet average, that could be completely legitimate. And then I don't know how you proceed with that to use your honest average. Or it could be returning that error because the fleet average, gallons purchased, miles, something in there doesn't add up and it's just throwing a red flag on their automated, AI system that scans these and lets you move on to the next step. Because every state does it slightly different with their interface, you're going to have to talk to the helpline for your state and ask them why it's returning that error.
And David says that it was 7.7, so...
It's probably just too big of a jump in improvement that is causing the issue. So double-check your math and make sure you didn't make a math error, too, that you actually are reporting the miles traveled and the gallons purchased correctly, because a flag like that will lead to an audit, and then they'll come in and they'll turn over every scrap of paper to do with fuel and trip routing and all that, and you may get a refund. The funny part is probably 40% of the IFTA audits turn into, oh, we owe you money back instead of you owing them money, but it eats up a day or two of your time while they do it. But that's probably, I thought that was probably what the issue was.
Well, and this is why a robot future is so welcome. Let's see here. Let's go to, what else we got here? We're gonna do some how we doing. I don't have the music queued up. Hey, how we doing? Traffic stop. This is interesting. It was a pickup truck that was hauling a car on I-76 in Palmyra. And this traffic stop, again, pickup, hauling a car. I want to see it. I wish we could see, where was the car? Was it in the bed? Was it strapped to the roof? Was it on a trailer? We don't know. But it yielded a half pound of crystal meth. So there was this big, they had a huge party roadside.
And yeah, when they say that, pickup truck hauling a car, was it commercial use? Was it someone hauling their own car? Was it a pickup truck with a U-Haul dolly behind it?
We don't know. We don't know any of that.
It's almost as bad as when the news says trucker has accident and kills somebody, and it's a non-commercial pickup truck.
And this is great. This is posted by the sheriffs. Okay, we got the bag. We got the dog. Oh, and here's the dog barking. So that's a full news story.
Yeah.
That is so great. Okay. All right. Okay. We're good. We're all good. Hey, remember how we were saving for a house? Well, surprise, honey. I love you. Will you start a trucking company with me? I'm bringing this up because after she says yes, and here's what you want to know. To keep this in mind. Hey, there's Foley. Top 4 FMCSA violations of 2021. Now, I thought this was interesting, Brian, because this actually gives us a good idea on how to repurpose our own content, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not a book, it's a blog. It's got pictures, top 4, top 5, once you do that, man, you've already got the interest.
My other podcast grows, which launches either tomorrow or Saturday, I'm having some issues with the podcast hosting service, but I'm going to be on top of, because I owe all my subscribers a newsletter that doesn't go out with any regular frequency. I'm going to be on top of repurposing content like that.
Yeah, awesome. Well, all right. So number one, honey, allowing a driver to operate with a suspended revoked CDL. You don't want to do
mm-hmm.
that.
And there's an easy way to solve this in a lot of states. You can subscribe to an MVR service where your state will notify you immediately if there's any action on your employee driver's driver's license. And there are third-party services, which this is one of the things Foley does that I do not do, is they offer a third-party monitoring service like this for a fee where they watch your driver's records for any suspension, revocation, or any other action that could lead to a problem.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah, I found a link, put it in the live chat. Don't know if it's useful or not. Moving on. Okay, let's see. Number two and number three are on the same page. Failing to implement an alcohol and or drug testing program.
Mm-hmm.
The clearinghouse, man, the clearinghouse is clearinghouse.
Yes, it is. I warned about this last year, that this was going to be a mechanism that the clearinghouse, that the FMCSA uses to catch drug and alcohol program violators. In fact, I have an audio clip that I wanted to give to you before this show, and I can't send it to you now while we're live, and I don't know how to share it from where it is, but I have a Texas DPS, Department of Public Safety instructor. She teaches their motor carrier enforcement officers. Texas has just trained all their officers to do a query check for clearinghouse as part of their routine roadside inspection, like I said, was coming. And so if you're not in the clearinghouse program or you haven't been run within a year, they're going to presume your employer doesn't have a valid drug and alcohol testing program. And then they're going to refer that for an auditor to come check you out. So folks with the CDL equipment, the days of just being an owner-operator and saying, they're never going to catch me for not having a drug testing program are over. You need a drug and alcohol testing program and clearinghouse compliance because it's become part of your roadside enforcement. And next year, it becomes part of your commercial driver's license renewal or issuance. The states will have to check the clearinghouse to make sure you're not prohibited from driving.
And number four, sweetie pie, allowing a driver with more than one CDL to drive a CMV.
I'm surprised that that is even still a violation. And there's
I don't get it.
There, well, years ago, we used to have licenses from several different states, and you would play, let me give you this one because I don't have a lot of points on that, or let me give you that one because I know this state doesn't talk to that state, so the ticket will never show up. But since, I want to say, 1992, when the CDL program was launched, it's been a federal regulation that you can only have one driver's license when you have a CDL, and it must be issued from your home state, your state you declare your residence in. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Unless they happen to get suspended from the CDL program, then you can get a non-resident CDL from a neighboring state, or if you're doing active military service. But at this, there's a database out there that the states are supposed to check before they issue you a CDL. And if you already have a CDL, valid or suspended, in another state, they're not allowed to issue you one. So I'm actually surprised that this is the number four violation, because it just means that there is, surprise, surprise, a failure in a federal government database and check and balance system.
Well, and also this could be like general trucking, whereas if it was auto transport, you know, messed up straps or I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, this is just general industry-wide all trucking, this list from Foley.
Here's a question. Do you think there's something not on this list that should have been in the top four?
I'm going to say in my top four, instead of this one CDL, I'm going to say that not being medically qualified would probably be in the top four or five. And especially among our target audience with the hotshot trucks and auto transporters, operating a commercial motor vehicle that requires a CDL without having a CDL. That one I see very often. That's a weekly call I get questions on. And the medical one, that happens among the other non-traditional fleets because they don't even think they are a commercial vehicle. So your landscaper, your electrician, your carpenter doesn't bother having a medical card because I'm just driving my work truck to go cut the grass. But they are a motor carrier.
Awesome. So I think we can expect camera one to see Brian's top four auto transport business top four violations. Now, it's just an idea, but anyways, right?
Remind me, and I probably can put that list together.
Man, this could be a gold mine. Every time we see somebody with their top four, we know that they may not have gotten our top four.
I'll one-up them. I'll give them five.
There we go. Man, this is so cool. Let me see if I got anything else in the that might be it. This mouse is going nuts. I think that's it for that. I'll tell you what I do have is I just want to mention this. I mean, there's dancing in the streets. This would explain the meth in the wagon. The Colorado governor cuts 100 years from the driver's sentence. Oh, thank you, Gov.
Yes.
I mean,
We all know that the 110-year sentence for Rogel Aguilera Medeiros was completely inappropriate, and it was just a result of how he was charged by the prosecutors and what their minimum sentencing laws were for those particular charges in Colorado. 10 years, in my own personal opinion, may be a little bit too light. Unfortunately, Mr. Aguilera Medeiros is a victim of a broken system, and I don't like the victim word. I'm not one to call everything that goes wrong a victim, but he wasn't properly trained. He wasn't properly qualified to operate that truck. The truck was not properly maintained. News 9 in Colorado has discovered that his employer, within days of this crash, closed that company and filed with the state of Texas and reopened another trucking company using the same exact address. And that trucking company has 23, as of the time of their report 2 weeks ago, 23 brake violations on his new company. So Mr. Aguilera Medeiros's employer did not learn his lesson, and he's going to get off scot-free. And that is one of the tragedies here. We will never make the four people that lost their lives whole again and the other six people that were injured, including the two that are permanently disabled. We will never make them whole again by taking this young man's life and making him stay in prison forever. That said, we need to make a strong statement that as professionals, you have the ultimate responsibility for your safety out there on the road. And Mr. Aguilera Medeiros knowingly operated a vehicle with defective brakes and knowingly bypassed the runaway truck ramp, which has clear signage to explain what it is for. And so he definitely has some fault here. Was it criminal with malice? No. Was this intended? No. But this crash happened because of clear mistakes that the driver made. And so therefore there needs to be some sort of punishment for that. That said, the employer needs to be held accountable, and we need to work as an industry to change our driver training and change the way our industry thinks about safety culture so that this doesn't happen again.
That is unbelievable what you just told us about that business owner. That's crazy. Normally, you know, software, technology, route this, etc. I don't always get super excited, but what I saw, especially when it talks about revenue, what I saw was, if the technology is smart enough to get, here we go, everyone is guaranteed home time. If the technology is smart enough to guarantee home time to the carrier, now that sounds like smart technology.
Sure. I read this article. Commercial Carrier Journal does a great write-up on AI Fleet here and their software. And since implementing this software program, the fleet claims they have had zero turnover related to driver satisfaction. And that's an incredible claim. And if it's true, this is great, because driver turnover or churn is what causes the so-called driver shortage. A lot of people don't know what they're getting into in trucking. They're not prepared for it. The lifestyle is vastly different than anyone that's ever had a normal 9-to-5 or shift work type job. And so here they found a way to guarantee the driver's going to make their minimum salary by routing and intelligent use of their resources and their loads and so on, and guarantee they're going to be home when they say that they're supposed to be home. So basically what it's saying here is their AI fleet driver optimization tool is smarter than your human load planner and human dispatcher. And that very well could be, because humans have a hard time, no matter how much we try to say we're unbiased, we have a hard time taking the bias out of our decisions. We have favorites, whether we admit it or not, and we dole out the work and make the plans accordingly. We know that John, he works hard. He always gets it done. I can count on him. Even if it's going to mess up his weekend, he's not going to say no. So when something goes wrong, I dump it on him. And that's not fair. The computer takes that right out of the question. So I'd be interesting to see 1 year and 3 years and 5 years out from here how this fleet is doing with this technology. But I like the concept.
Right on. I like that. Hey, one last question before we go. Silverman asks, this is a good question. Will a CDL be required if, let's say, I own a fully autonomous truck?
That's a great question that has not been answered by regulations yet. It's been discussed, and it's actually something that has been discussed by both the law enforcement community and the regulatory community, the DOT. And right now, they're requiring CDL drivers in these fully autonomous vehicles. Although we had the first 80-mile trip without a human being physically in the cab of a commercial vehicle on public roads just last week. The truck pulled out of a warehouse, got on the highway, drove 80 miles, and got off and made its delivery without a human in the truck. Now, it had a state police escort, and it had a chase vehicle that was following it where they could have stopped it if something went wrong. But the short question is, there's still debate on whether someone in the company will have to be properly licensed for these vehicles, or if the vehicles operating certificate and certification, when it gets to that point, will be the license for the vehicle. So just like sometimes you try to go on a website and it tells you that their certificate's been revoked and you can't go there, or you get software licenses and you don't pay to renew it so you can't use it. Well, I'm thinking that ultimately there's going to be a licensing fee to the state for them to certify your software is competent and it's updated properly. And I'm going to say that eventually the truck is going to be what has the commercial operator's license, not a human being, when it gets to fully autonomous. But that's pure speculation based on conversations I've been involved in and what I've read. There is not a legal answer to that yet, because right now they're still requiring the safety drivers to be fully qualified CDL holders, even when they're not operating the truck.
I love the way you answered that question, because yeah, that is wow. That's a definite stay tuned to see what happens next kind of topic. And that's good. That's a good place to end. This was our first DOT compliance of 2022, and another great show. I mean, we appreciate everybody jumping in, saying hello, asking questions, contributing to the content. If you see a news article, I didn't share any links because I was busy talking and stuff, but send me the news, autotransportintel@gmail.com. Go ahead and I put that in the live chat. You can send in, if you got an article that you want to see us talk about, or a service or question. If you do have a question, you can email Brian onair@yourdotguide.com. Don't forget, here's what you want to do. Go to yourdotguide.com, and here, let me bring that up here on the, not only put the link in the live chat, there's the link in the live chat, and let's go ahead and bring up the site here. This is, so you've updated your site.
Yep, I have split my websites into two. I've had your dotguide.com for a couple of years now, and it would just redirect my Fleet Compliance Solutions website. But with the new podcast launching this week, the branding for the podcast and the live appearances and the media is now going to be Your DOT Guy, Brian Riker. So we have a new site here that gives you access to my sponsors and supporters. As you can see, Auto Transport Intel and this DOT compliance show are major supporters of what I do, as is my own company, Fleet Compliance Solutions, a couple trade associations. You can click that link right there that says DOT compliance and get all 51 of these episodes. It redirects you back to the Auto Transport Intel channel, right to our show. Servicase is another sponsor of mine that they provide a road service dispatching for small fleets. Great people. They're owned by FleetNet, which is an ArcBest company. ArcBest owns ABF Freight. They're involved in a lot of different things. I know the designer of this personally. He's a great guy. And as soon as the link is live, I will have the direct link to the new podcast. But you can go anywhere that you get your podcast. It should be up tomorrow, Saturday at the latest, anywhere you get your podcasts, and just search Your DOT Guy, Brian Riker, and you will find the new podcast. Click subscribe. Give me a 5-star rating if you like it. Episode number 1 dives a little deeper into the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse program. But even here, you can keep up with where I am going to be. There's some sample episodes on here. There's a little sample windshield wisdom tab, which gives you, we had done them on Tuesday nights for a while on your show. They just give you a short little 30, 60, 90 second safety blurb on something. And of course, you can contact me, leave some comments, tell me what you want to hear me talk about, because I want to give you what you want to know. And I had seen you'd click the IATA link there. They're a great supporter of mine. The Independent Auto Transporters Alliance is a great trade association for small fleets and that are car haulers. And of course, my company that's been around 12, 13 years now doing DOT compliance. I've updated some information on here. And
great site. I mean, really awesome site, dude. And the links and everything, really put a lot of time into it. That's awesome. Thank you.
And I built that myself. It's one of my other talents I have. I don't talk about it, but I'm a computer nerd.
That's awesome. So if you have a question or an idea, whatever it is, please put it in the comments below. You know how to contact Brian. That's in the live chat there, too. Otherwise, we're here. We're going to be here every Wednesday all year. So buckle in and let us know how we can help you.
And let us know what you think about this slightly extended format, too. We've been not hitting the 30-minute mark, and we're not quite at the hour mark. We just want to get it dialed in so that we don't bore you and you have time to listen and we get the news and information out to you. So thank you, everybody, and here's hoping we have a great 2022.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Brian. Keep us posted, and we'll see you next time, buddy.
Will do.
Thanks, Brian. Take care, everybody. Peace out.